No, he wasn't. He was a man of the desert, which is, you know, in itself implies a different type of resistance in every single way. So, this is one of the aspects. You know, maybe he took all this, the strength from being basically a vegetarian and eating goat cheese and fish.
Right.
But that's one of the aspects that I think that that's why the church transformed everything, because they wanted to create a dogma. In creating the dogma, they made Christ, Jesus, be so distant from us humans.
Well, it's also one of the reasons why I personally believe the four Gospels that we have are chosen, because in each of them it talks about, you know, the crucifixion, the resurrection, you know, and obviously this man is God. But if you look at the other Gospels that aren't included in the Bible, Thomas, for instance, they don't go through all that. They go through much more mundane things. Who Jesus was as a person. You know, what he ran into in the small things, not just in the big things.
Yeah, it was like a journey, you know, a diary of a journey. Every day, this journaling, a pathway.
And it is interesting if you read, like, the Gospel according to Thomas, Jesus does have a sense of humor, and he does make things that were, statements that were considered jokes. He wasn't just seriousness. He had human qualities as well as divine qualities.
Now, this is another interesting aspect that we have to see and have to include this on the society of that time. Jesus came back. He was already a rabbi. He needed to be initiated. So, finished initiation with the fathers of the desert, on that time the Essenians. So, he goes to the desert for 40 days. To pray, to fast, and to receive his last messages, what it was, his instructions. And then this time that he meets the, you know, John the Baptist. And that is a very interesting thing, because John the Baptist preached two things: repent and turn yourself to God. You know, clean your bloodline, basically. So Jesus goes, and John the Baptist was an Essenian, but he obeyed ancient rituals of purifications through water, which was basically from the Sabaeans.
That was a Sabaean tradition
of, you know, the baptism by water. So he got baptized, and that is what I think that he received the attunement. I wouldn't say it was a baptism. I prefer to think about the baptism on the Jordan as the highest attunement he could get on that time to receive all that he could carry from the Christ consciousness. And then from that baptism, he started his ministry. That's when he started. He went back and he started preaching inside of the synagogues and everything else. He was a full, capable rabbi. Now, let's go back to the Jewish society. Jesus was a rabbi. According to the tradition and Jewish law, to be a rabbi, you have to be married.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I read before, yeah.
Yeah, he had to be married. Well, how can he be married if there is no reference from his wife? If there is a reference that his mother followed him after the death of St. Joseph, that his father, and Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdalene, also followed him. Now, you have just one thing in the Bible that made this entire discussion about Mary Magdalene, which I think is kind of unfair, that Mary Magdalene, and they identified Mary Magdalene with the woman that was about to be stoned to death because she supposedly was a prostitute, and they connected two figures in the Bible when they are not connected.
And that's a very interesting point. If you go back and read those passages, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that they're the same person.
They don't. They're not the same person.
Yeah,
what is known as Jesus had a lot of disciples, apostles. He had 12 apostles, but he had 72 disciples, which means they were not fully initiated. They were studying to be apostles, but they were just disciples. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Lazarus, and Martha. You have various accounts about Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were brothers and sisters. Lazarus was supposed to be a very rich man, and he funded most of Christ's ministry.
Lazarus, for those that don't know, is the person that Jesus raised from the dead.
Yeah, he raised from the dead. And there is the passage that he's preaching somewhere else, and he receives a message from Mary and Martha saying, Lazarus is pretty bad, Master. Rabbi, can come back to heal him. And Jesus waits. He could have made it back in one day, but he waited for 2 days, and he arrives in the third day. And he arrives there, and he sees Martha and Mary crying, and said he just died. And it's the only passage, there's a very strong passage in the Bible, because it says that Jesus was moved in his spirit, meaning that he really tried to do a distant healing, but it was not enough. When he got there, he was dead. He was moved in spirit, and is the only time that the Bible explicitly says that he cried. When he got there and saw that Lazarus was dead, he was moved in his spirit. And moved in his spirit in the Greek Bible means crying. So he cried. When he cried, he said, okay, resurrect Lazarus. And he brought Lazarus back to life. Why? Because he had done the initiation on the temple of Egypt. Because this was not a knowledge thought inside of any one of the rituals, even inside of Kabbalah, none of the temples. They no other priest, no other Sadducees or whatever
the Pharisees
had that knowledge. Is a technology, is a technique. Of course, you need to have the attunement for it. Of course, you have to have the spiritual tools to do it. But there was a technique, and he did it. So this is a very interesting thing. So you have Mary there, which the area that they live, it was very close of Magdalene, and they were rich. So you have that part that on the Bible that they said he's having lunch or dinner in somebody's house, and then they said, Master, there's a crowd that want to see you, there's such and such, such and such, and Mary of Magdalene, and prostitute. And they put everything like one. And of course, in a Jewish tradition, even in our tradition right now, a woman that travels with a bunch of men would not really have a good reputation, would she? You know, it's like a bunch of men being in the desert by herself. Mm.
Well, it was also important to separate Jesus the man from Jesus the God. And Jesus the God, of course, wouldn't need to be married.
Exactly, but it was necessary, as, you know, this runs in the underline. It was necessary in order, it was a prerequisite in order for you to be a full hot rabbi and preach to others and do certain things. You need to be married. It's it's part of the process. But anyways, I'm going to be back. I talk too much.
Well, I think we're winding down to the end of the time slot that we have allotted. And so much more material we've got here.
Oh, wow, okay.
It looks like this is going to be a series.
No, not a series.
Yes, it's going to be a series.
No, it's not going to be a series.
Should we take some questions now, or do you think you're at a good breaking spot on where you are for
I don't know. I didn't even get to the part of resurrection of,
Well, maybe we can make that part two.
Oh, well, not even the parables. Gee.
The fact is there is so much material and so many antidotes and facets to explore on with the historical Jesus and with the cosmic Christ that literally we could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. But I think what we'll do now, since I don't want our conversation this evening to get cut off in the middle of a thought, why don't we open it up, see if anyone's got some quick questions, and then we will look at scheduling another set of this shortly, because to be honest, it's such a good topic.
I've been talking by myself. But, yeah, does anybody have questions or insight?
I just have a quick question, and I want to thank you for this evening. So beautiful, and you really touched my heart talking about Jesus and Christ around Christmas, so thank you.
Thank you. I love this man, you know. I just really love him. And I cannot, like, sometimes I just wonder, like, you know, it's very difficult because nowadays the name of Jesus is used in such bad ways and to hurt others. It's so, oh God, you know.
It's sad to say, but the name of Jesus, the figure of Jesus, is now used to justify things that Jesus himself would never do.
Yeah, and the other thing we also have to remember. Jesus was not Christian. He couldn't follow himself. He was, you know, by law of physics, he could not follow himself.
What?
He was not a Christian. He started as a Jew. He was a man of the world. He had the perspective of every single culture. He was educated. He really went in the pursuit of knowledge.
Here's another topic that would be good for us to cover one day, was the birth of the early church. How we got from Jesus' teachings and Jesus' examples to the Christian church, which is, not a direct step. There was a lot of things going on at that time. But anyway, that's a sidetrack.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I just wondered if the Immaculate Conception could have been, was it a yoga technique? Could he materialize inside Mary's womb? I know it's a weird question, but
That's interesting, because there are, in Tibetan Buddhism, for instance, there are techniques that the masters study that they talk about the rainbow body or the light body, where when they die, they dematerialize into light. So what you're saying is, can that be done backwards and materialize from light into flesh?
Well, that's the one thing that I wanted to do, about the Mary in itself. It is an entire different conference call, because Mary fills up books. And I will tell you one thing about Mary. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, it's not a new concept. Mm-hmm. It's not. If somebody says to you, it just happened once, no, it didn't. You have Immaculate Conception of Krishna in India. You have Immaculate Conception of Buddha. You know, in his story, Maya, his mother, that looks a lot with Maria and Mary, or Miriam, she had him by Immaculate Conception.
The mother of Confucius was also...
Yes, Immaculate. Now, why this? Why I go back to the bloodlines? Why? It is said that one time, and this is on a formation of mankind in itself, because we know we were experiment. So they tried various type of humanities here, and we all mutts. So they tried different seeds or star seeds here, and those star seeds start mingling, but you had a bloodline. We still have the bloodline here going all over, so that's our, main thing. The problem which we have with our DNA activating or not is, like, we have to clean up our lineage, in order to activate everything, so we pull together in ascension. But the bloodline of Mary goes back to one type of mankind that was put here, and the name may scare some people, because, they say that it's related to Anunnakis, but actually it's not. the bloodline of Mary, she was what they call Anupadakas. Like Maya was, the mother of Confucius was, the Anupadakas were a type of beings that were humans, but with a different DNA wiring, that were able to manifest on their bodies creation. It was not like a hermaphrodite, but they were vehicles. They could be seeded by an extra corporeal entity. So there is this aspect that people raise that Mary must have been, and that's the reason the bloodline of Mary is the one that's put on the front of the Bible when it talks about why Christ came from, where Jesus came from, because he was needed an extraordinary physical body to carry an extraordinary cosmic energy. So it could have been done only by Anupadaka. So that's one of the reasons. It is possible to be a technique, yes, but it's done by and through a very special type of bloodline. So when people say, oh yeah, that's bullshit, Immaculate Conception, hey, there's more mysteries there. It happened before. You know,
I think one of our greatest fallacies is we try to limit
God.
You know, we try to limit him with our imagination, but God is limitless. So it's a big mistake to try to set those limits on him. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
It really does. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Do we have any other questions?
It could be crazy. That's okay. We are crazy too, people. You can ask crazy questions.
Is it another fallacy that when we believe that what Christ said, no one comes to me except through the Father, that he meant something literal or something more cosmic?
I believe he meant cosmically.
And that is a different level of consciousness altogether.
Exactly.
That we can attain. But how do we do that?
Integrating the parts of yourself. I mean, and this has to start with very, very interesting your question. It has to start by yourself. It has to start with self-acceptance. And it has to start with knowing who you are. And you do this when you know and you remember, not with your mind. When you do this, you have to connect to the heart. You are a divine being. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. It's not the other way around. Humanity is an experience. And I tell you what, Earth is just a school. You came here to learn some concepts. One of them is a concept of diversity, of universality, and a little bit of comprehension. But basically, you came here to learn compassion. Compassion is one of the learning experiences that no other being of the universe is able, no other life form is able to experience but through the living experience of being a human, because of the diversity, because of the environment. So when he comes and say, hear how you do it, know thyself, nobody goes to God but through me, he wasn't talking about him, Jesus. He was talking about who he was representing.
The Christ consciousness.
The Christ consciousness, or the Christos, or how the people that don't like to use Christ because they think that Christ is like too Catholic, you know, but it's not Catholic. Christos, Krishna, it's a principle.
But it, you know, one of the things that, you know, we see this a lot is people that say, you know, you need to go. We saw an email that went out a while back from an organization that does certain so-called spiritual organization. And what they said is, they said, you know, you don't need to you know, worry about helping other people. You don't need to, you know, worry about feeding kids in Africa or helping the sick or doing this. All you really need to do to ascend is integrate the Christ consciousness. And I looked at this statement, and I thought, that is the most ridiculous thing in the world I've ever heard, because to integrate the Christ consciousness, you need to understand and learn compassion and follow Christ. You know, do what he did, and read it in the Bible. You know, Christ healed the sick. He, you know,
he fed the
hungry. He did all these things. And if truly this is the part about learning compassion, you are not ever going to install Christ consciousness within you until you learn
develop compassion
and reach out and help those that need help. It's at that heart level
that you help yourself.
That you can do this, and that is one of the ways we ascend. We raise our vibration when we help others. This is all goes back to the law of one.
When you help somebody, you help yourself. The thing is, like, for us, we are also a nonprofit. And for us, there is a challenge. It is like, you know, a point of meditation and every day. It's like, oh my God, there's so much need, but there's not much help. What can we do? And the thing is, what gives me comfort is actually what Dalai Lama says. If you cannot feed everybody, feed one. Do your job. Do this near home. Do this to your neighbor. And that's what he said. You know, help your neighbor. It doesn't mean the neighbor next door. It doesn't mean necessarily that you have to go across the world to save somebody. Well, but you can help somebody that's right there.
Right there. Well, I mean, look at Jesus. He even went out and helped those Samaritans. I mean, God knows. There's nobody like Samaritans.
You know, and that's a part that's very interesting. That we were talking about this the other day, Chris. A part about the disciples.
Yeah.
And I read the Bible and I can see Jesus rolling his eyes. And I was like, oh God. And there's one part that he actually says it. And I think it's very interesting, because if you read the Bible like a dead letter, is one thing. But if you read the Bible and do a contemplative meditation on it, you can see the characters interacting.
And this, to be honest, this is a fascinating technique that you should try to incorporate it sometime. Read a section of the Bible, read like one of the teachings of Jesus, and meditate on that.
Like you're seeing a scene on Hollywood.
Yeah, visualize how that played out. And it's amazing when you see the interaction between the people.
And you can see what is not said. There is one part that I like the most, which is the part that one father comes to him and said, I want you to heal my son. And he said, what's his problem? He said, he has men. And then he said, okay, I can send one of my bosses to do it because I'm kind of busy. Of course, he doesn't say in these words, but that's more or less what he says. And the guy said, the man said to him, I already tried all of them, and they cannot do it. And all the apostles are sitting there, and then the Bible said that Jesus looked at them and said, bring the son here. Bring your son here. And he gets and takes in 5 minutes. And then he turns back to the apostle and says, to when you guys going to think that you have me to solve this? Did I teach you enough? It's like, oh my God, you know, can you see the frustration? You know, it's like, if frustration is not human, I don't know what it is. You know, I really don't. It's part of us. So this is just one of the aspects that I think is fascinating about Jesus, is like he really spells frustration and things like that. And this is incredible. You know, I usually say that all the apostles for me, they were not Jewish, they were Italians, because they were always thinking about eating. You know, in every part of you've seen the Bible, it's like, when are we going to eat? When are we going to eat?
Do we have enough food? No, we shouldn't give those people the loaves and the fish, because there's just not enough to go around. We barely got enough to feed ourselves, much less all those people.
Yeah, let's send them away.
But then again, that also would be a wonderful...
Yeah.
Teleconference. All right.
Do we have more questions?
We're really getting pressed on time here. So are there any more questions?
Just to follow up on the last one I asked earlier about coming to the Father through Jesus, through Christ.
Yes.
Do we not need some discernment when, you know, there's so much political altruism in the world? We need to be able to make a distinction between that and the kind of compassionate giving of oneself making an attempt to
come to your heart.
That's right.
That has to come from your heart. And one of our jobs is to practice discernment. I mean, we would love to be able to say, look, Humanity Healing is a great organization. We got these great projects that around the world. You know, we're helping these kids in Africa, and this is the place you should donate and do your service through here. But that, you know, hell, I'd love to say that. But the truth is that you need to practice discernment. You need to see what calls you. And that is where you need to send your intent and send your compassion.
It doesn't matter where. The fact is, it really doesn't matter where. Do what you can with what you have.
That's exactly right.
Not only money counts on helping. Being generous is a two-way street.
Generosity of spirit is very much a two-way street.
Yes, it's a two-way street. It's not only the ability to give, but it's also learning the ability to receive. So when you practice generosity of spirit, it doesn't need to be money involved. You know, like a helping hand, a large shoulder, a hug, or even a smile goes a long way.
Holding the door open for someone with a bunch of packages trying to get to the UPS store. I mean, it can be simple things, but they're very profound to people. You will never know fully how much a single act of kindness can ripple outward and affect the life of somebody else. And there's lots of you know, stories out there of people doing things that they didn't even realize were, like, important at the time. But to the person that received it, it was a life-saving affirmation that, for instance, kept them, you know, from committing suicide. And who would have known that a simple, you know, you look like you're having a rough day, let me get your cup of coffee for you, would have made that much of a difference in the life of somebody else.
Very well.
And that's the way you go back to the Father. Being his hands, being his eyes.
Integrating the Christ consciousness within you.
And the way to do that is remembering who you are and where you came from.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be walking around as an enlightened being 6 inches off the ground, you know, and glowing with light. That's not, you know, ascension. That's not, you know, integrating the Christ consciousness. Integrating the Christ consciousness can be very simple and very small. It can simply be, it's simply reaching out and giving of yourself to raise another.
Well,
that's the first step. That's always the first step.
The best way to see that, and one another way for you to look at your question, is what Eckhart Tolle says about living on the now. What you have, we are all beings that were meant to be in fifth dimension, but we are living in 3 dimension now. So we need to pay bills. You know, you need to eat. You need to provide for your need. You need to have heat during the winter. All right, I'm not in 5D. I still need those things. What can I do? I do on 3G because this is my now. It doesn't matter that I will be in 3G tomorrow or in 2010 or 2017. I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. So, but what I know is this now, and this is what I can do. I don't have $1 million to give to this charity and, you know, resolve the problem of such and such a place. But what I can do is this. I can write to this person that asked me a prayer request for her mother and say to her that I will pray because I pray. You know, I pray. I add my energy to this. This is a work. And those are, don't make no mistake, the energy sending, prayer sending, healing sending is what you call, you know, invisible acts of power. You can save a life which are intention. So they are power and intention. And if the intention is pure and the intention is connected with the greater good of all, you're already building your way back to God. And through Christ consciousness, because this is a field that is incredible, it permeates Christ consciousness, or the God, the Son, permeates this entire galaxy. It's not, you know, we have like 252 billion stars, not to count the planets around. Not something.
Hey, Leonie.
Yes.
Can I add something? This is Dzengo.
Sure.
You know, I had a real a thought. I'm sitting here doing yoga as you guys are talking. That's usually what I do. But this time I wanted to say this. I think one of the things about the Christ consciousness is that it's looking maybe for opportunities to, you know, do an act of kindness or even create your own opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We don't have to wait for somebody to say, oh gosh, you know, I'm really having a hard time, because let's say we happen to hear that their car broke down last month, and then this happened, and then their dog got killed. Well, I don't need them to come ask me for help. I can just figure that out, you know.
Well,
and
that's exactly right, but that is when you understand and embrace compassion as a way of life.
Exactly.
Because then you know, you understand. You don't have to wait for someone to say, I need help. You feel compassion. You act on it.
When you see it, right? So that was it. I just was like, it's creating those opportunities too. It's like if I know that every time I do something good, and not good by my standards, because what I think may be good may not be good, but when I do something and I'm like, you know, please use this to the best of what needs to be done, despite the fact I'm human and I still make mistakes.
Exactly.
So that way, anytime I try to do something, I really don't worry about it any more than that, because as long as I know that I'm trying to send it and let the universe, let God, let the Christ consciousness use it for the best, I'm done. I did my part. I'm just tasked with doing what needs to be done, what's in my world.
Well, remember, it's not any one individual task. It's the journey you take.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It is a journey, and it is a journey of awakening. Because, you know, when there is a difference. Again, we go back to the intention. There is a difference between, you know, like, we call them the Christian pocketbook.
Pocketbook Christians.
You know, the people that go to church, but during the week, they are mean. They are just mean machines. They really don't care about anybody. They discriminate. They do this and this and this and this. But they go to church on Sunday.
They write a check and they put it at the top of the donation pile, sitting there positioned so that you can see their name and what they've given, because what's important to them is that they are seen to be good. But anyway.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
What I'm saying. The thing is a journey of awakening, you know, because that's what I'm saying. The intention, even if it's a small act, and it's something that didn't make you doing good, not because there's anybody looking.
Just because
it's the right thing to do.
Well, and there's the old story of the widow's mite, and we've actually seen the widow's mite in action in our organization, Humanity Healing. There was a lady once that sent us, you know, $5 and was very upset and sad because that's all she could send because she's unemployed and she was taking care of a mother who was dying of cancer and she had no income. And you know, I read this letter and I wept. Because this to her was a major sacrifice in money that
exactly.
She needed to afford herself. But because she wanted to help others, she did that. And she felt ashamed because it was only $5. And I have never received at Humanity Healing a greater gift than this woman's,
yeah.
You know. Anyway, I'm getting choked up
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. I know. Exactly, though.
And what we're going to have to do here is we're going to have to cut it off because I'm getting the warning beeps now that the teleconference is about to shut down.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get even the 30% for that program tonight.
But what we will do is we will have this, I think this is, we'll put this as a regular course, and we'll continue on with a series on this because there is a lot more material to cover. But we would like to thank, before we get cut off, like to thank everybody who participated with us this evening, who joined us, who listened in, and who shared this energy with us. This is truly a wonderful and blessed time of year, whatever faith you are. And we would just like to thank you for being a part
everything.
Of our family here and for sharing this time with us.
Thank you.
Bless you.
You guys are just great. I really love you guys. You are my family.
Yeah,
right.
I know, sister.
I know.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.